WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Jeepers Creepers.
Y bienvenido a otra edición extrema de WTR Sunday Night aquí mismo en Wild Talk Radio Network. Por supuesto, Sir Rockin se unió como siempre al anfitrión invitado especial Keishi Matsunaga.
Oh, that's great!
You goddamn troll! You goddamn troll!
We heard from Keishi.
Made my night. As the Spanish announce team said, I am Keishi. I am here to talk about Extreme Rules.
We have the intern.
Hola y bienvenidos a WTR Sunday Night.
And the one and only Tim Stein.
Hola mis amigos, bienvenidos a Wrestle Talk Radio por lucha and shit like that.
Tim, you were supposed to do the French.
Oh, pardon. Bienvenue, mesdames et messieurs, avec Wrestle Talk Radio pour la lutte professionnelle de WWE.
There you go. That was the start of the show.
Wait a second. Was that actual, like, real French?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to any word that came out of your mouth.
Can anybody listening validate whether or not that was actual real French?
I don't know. I need Raymond Rougeau to tell me.
But why the hell am I not allowed to hablar español?
Because I already spoke Spanish, and plus, I'm in the Southwest U.S. It makes more sense for me to do the Spanish.
Not necessarily. My sister lives in Mazatlán, Mexico, and I'm learning español so I can go down there and have a little bit of fun in Spanish.
Before this goes any further, welcome everyone to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're here to cover Extreme Rules. That really wasn't extreme until the last
30 seconds.
5 minutes or so.
And all of this wackadoodleness at the beginning of the show, Rock, it's all your fault. So you're not allowed to give me any grief about it.
What did I do?
What did I do? You just did some, like, weird computer Spanish shit.
Yeah, I was mocking Peacock.
You were mock-cocking Peacock.
Hashtag cancel the cock. Anyway, here we are.
Yeah, let's not get that trending. Because the last thing we need is a brigade of lesbians taking up the challenge.
So, this was a
good... Oh, come on.
I'm just moving on, Tim. It was good. You're doing
really?
Fine.
Really? That was worth it.
Thanks, Lindy. Anyway, so this was a really, really good show.
Linda?
Who said Linda?
You did. You called her Linda.
I said Lindsay.
No, you said Linda.
I said Lindsay. Get your hearing checked, Linda. Tim.
Intern, smarten up. We're picking on Rock.
I do that all the time.
He does.
Well, then join in.
Don't worry. I'll have plenty of it to do tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's tomorrow. I won't be here. I'll be busy working.
Anyway, as I'm trying to get this show underway, we had a really good show until last, I would say, 5 minutes?
Not even that long. It was not 5 minutes. It just felt like an eternity.
It was 5 minutes, including Roman slowly back up the ramp.
It was something. Do we just want to start with the ending and work our way all around?
I mean, it's what people are going to be talking about, so let's just start with it.
Yeah, might as well just get it over with.
Okay, Roman Reigns, Finn Balor, a.k.a. The Demon, battled in an Extreme Rules match in your main event that worked really well. And then they tried to, protect the Demon with a finish? It's the
best. It was something.
I guess that's the best way to spin it, yeah.
It has to be probably just about the cheapest way possible for Roman to be able to claim victory in the match tonight. It was bad.
So Roman speared the Demon through the barricade, and Finn's face was like, oh shit. By the way, that was a great reaction. And then his music starts to play, and he starts flopping around to the heartbeat, and I was like, oh my god, what are we seeing? What in the world are we seeing? And then we get the
things are getting kinky.
And then we're getting the red light, and it's like, okay, they took someone's red lighting.
Then the music hit, which was weird,
and then they're fighting in the music, and he has them up for the coup de grace, and he's just standing there and waiting. And then eventually, all four buckles broke.
Technically, the one buckle broke that he was on. The other ones just sag because it loses the tension.
Well, I thought the one across from him broke and the rest of them sagged.
Whatever it was.
The one he was standing on snapped. The turnbuckle underneath the padding snapped.
Yeah.
I thought it just fell down, and I thought the one opposite him was the one that had snapped because it was in the middle of the ring.
Whatever happened wasn't good.
No. This is one of those things, like you said, they're trying to protect the Demon. They're trying to rely on the supernatural in question mark, but it was just one of those things of like, it just did not work in its execution.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, if AEW had pulled something like that, they would have been praised.
No. If Aleister Black had done that, they probably would say, ooh, that's great storytelling. Look, you know, he has the mystic elements.
No, I'm going to go back to a moment that happened, was it earlier this year? That was a complete dud in front of a live pay-per-view audience, the Extreme Deathmatch.
Wait, is Finn going to start rolling around on, or is Roman and Paul going to be rolling around on the mat screaming 69 me, Paul?
Hopefully not. Hopefully
not. I forgot about that.
Yeah, don't forget, on national TV, you had Kenny Omega screaming 69 me, Dawn. That was a great moment in AEW history.
My point was they got lambasted over the
but they never bought into it. They were just, oh, you marks, you believe he was gonna win.
Yeah, anyway, the point was it was a dud finish on pay-per-view, and they got roasted. WWE's getting roasted for their unique finish. Best way to describe it, Roman then hits the spear, gets the win. Thank God himself.
I would have accepted it if we had seen Paul Heyman with a pair of wire cutters after having cut the rope.
Like, did the Usos do it?
No, they were
down over by the announce table. It would have been a lot better if, like, the guy who was, like, maybe one of the cameramen came out, like, you know, was wearing a hood and took it off, and it ended up being the other Uso brother that has recently signed. Yeah,
I was just thinking talks that. About.
He just got a shiny new contract. He could walk around and be the fall guy to the fall guys.
So are you saying be the D'Lo Brown to this group, the one that just always gets beat down?
I thought maybe he would be like the Brandon Cutler to their group, their young boy.
I mean, logically that works.
I guess we'll need to see on Friday how they spin this.
Yep.
It was something. It was, for all the good talk this pay-per-view had, that kind of left a sour note on some people's opinions on it.
It was a fun pay-per-view right up until the finish.
And out of all the matches where you thought, oh, it's going to be a weird ending, no one thought it was going to be the Roman Reigns match.
I mean, I thought they were going to do, I figured they would do something because I didn't think that Finn was going to win. I just didn't think it would be that.
I figured, okay, we got the Usos coming out. They're going to beat them down, feed them to Roman. Boom. There's your out. 3-on-1. Here, there's your out. Took three people to beat a demon. Then Finn took care of the Usos.
Then Finn wriggled his way back into life.
The flopping.
Honest to God, he did. He was just squirming.
Flopping.
He was flopping up and down with the heartbeat.
He looked like a half-dead fish that if you've ever gone fishing, you catch a fish and you take it out of the water, take the hook out of its mouth, and lay it on the ground beside you. And it's just going like absolute crazy until it starts to, you know, die. And then it just has this odd flinch every now and then. And that was what it reminded me of, the death throes, final flinching of a fish you caught that you shouldn't have left on the ground beside you.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So coming out of all this, Roman Reigns is still champion. He's going to head to Crown Jewel to fight Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship or Universal.
And what the hell was it with the music?
I don't understand. I mean, I guess it was the distraction so that you don't hear them setting up the ring. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't recall seeing anybody setting up the ring at all. I do think, you know, like 2020 vision, hindsight and all this other stuff. It seems like they stayed away from that corner for this entire match. So the thing had to have been Jimmy doctored, rigged up. Before the guys came out.
During the promo package?
Yeah.
Could have been.
Because they would have had the lights out for the Jumbotron or the Titantron for people to focus their attention on that. And either people wouldn't have seen everybody Jimmy the turnbuckle.
Either that or the way that I saw it happen, it looked like there was the way that the buckle dropped. I wonder if there was something in the extended corner. You know how there's the ring post and then there's the covering? I wonder if there's something that it's like you could hit a button and it would drop it.
That's kind of what I assumed it was.
So that way, if you need to use it during the match, send people into the corner, etc., that's fine. And then when the time comes, you just hit it and it goes whoop. Because it seemed like the way it dropped.
Maybe it was just a simple thing where it was a pin, some kind of a pinned rigging that had a simple cord coming out that nobody noticed. Paul Heyman was in that corner. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Paul Heyman was in the same corner as that ring post, and he was really close to the ring. Maybe it was Heyman grabbing that cord and giving it a tug to remove the pin, and then we had to wait until Balor's weight actually fatigued it enough.
We'll never know.
Speculation. Guesstimation.
Quick, WWE engineers, get them on the phone.
Working on it. they're online too. Anyway, what is?
I did like the payback from Finn Balor though during the pin to Roman when Roman had Balor down, and it was 1, 2. Going for the 3, and Finn gets his shoulder up and kind of pays Roman back for a low blow that they had in their first match.
That was funny. I enjoyed that.
Just the look on Roman's face, like, oh, God. It's like, I've been hoisted by my own petard.
That was just a sweet maneuver, and it was like, yeah, you know, a great little pop for the fans. Ha! It's about time you got what you gave.
But As Lindsay said, though, God's favorite champion was rewarded by something earlier in the match when they went into the crowd. Look, if you follow mandates, you get rewarded by the man upstairs.
Okay, I'm just going to update
everybody. I give all credit to Lindsay for that.
Yeah, but here's, you know, throwing the face mask, like throwing the mask on before you walk out into the crowd. Just so everybody understands the reality. The reason why face masks are mandated, it's not to keep you from potentially catching the virus. It's to keep you from potentially spreading the virus. So him putting on that mask was an absolutely useless gesture because that guy that he walked past could still have infected him.
Okay, we're just moving on.
That being said, Roman being immunocompromised, being a two-time leukemia survivor, during this pandemic, I would have really hesitated letting him go out into that crowd.
Just gonna move on from that.
Completely. I'm just putting that out there. I'm not getting political on this. I'm just saying it's just a very important thing. Now you can move on.
After the finish of the match, apparently in the building, the crowd was loud. That's the report I got. So there is that. So yeah, Roman Reigns, still your Universal Champion. I would say the biggest surprise of the night in terms of matches was Liv and Carmella in the open, Tim.
I did not expect it to be as good as it was. Liv Morgan, everybody knows I don't hate Liv Morgan, but I'm not her biggest fan. I'm definitely not a Liv Morgan fanboy. I like her work. She does fine. But tonight, she started to win me over. Her work rate was absolutely phenomenal, in my opinion. And this is not a diss against Carmella, what I'm about to say. But Liv carried Carmella tonight, in my opinion. She did such a great job. She dictated that match, I think.
I'm going to say this comment, and this goes about all the matches sort of on this show tonight, especially lean towards the women. You can tell how much having house shows back has helped the performers in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely no way to argue that with any validity.
Because we had Charlotte and Alexa tonight, which was a really good match. Becky and Bianca was really good. They've been working those matches on the weekend house shows. Bianca and Becky worked the tour in the UK all last week with it. They've been working on these matches. So having the house shows back have helped the performers in the ring.
Yeah. Liv's gotten the work that I think a lot of people have wanted for her. Because, I mean, she's had fan support.
Oh, yeah.
If you read Twitter, if you read everything, she has the fans behind her. They want to see her get, you know, a chance. And honestly, she has wanted to put the work in since she got called up to the main roster. It was just a matter of originally there wasn't a spot.
Getting the chance to.
Right. And now she's been able to get the house shows, get the work, put in the time. And it's starting to show because she's putting together a damn good match.
And the crowd continues to get behind her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you listen.
With her performance tonight, yeah, it's well-deserved.
Well, I was going to say, if you listen to the crowd, they were involved in that match. Now, they didn't like Carmella, but that's her role in this whole thing. But anytime Liv got offense, anytime she was, you know, getting rolling, the fans were into it. And you hardly ever see that in a, you know, in a kickoff match.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this match was good enough to actually be on the main show. Whereas the... that other one should have been the free match.
Which one, Tim?
Oh shit. The Uso Street Profits match.
Yeah.
Should have been the free
match.
That one
felt like a Liv one, by the way. That felt like a TV match.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say I found myself really having a hard time actually getting into the match, which was weird. Because first off, it's the Usos. Secondly, it's the Street Profits. You expect something off the hook. We didn't get that. However, they did have a strong finish. I will give them that.
I wonder if this is part of the, like, they have a bigger plan, so this is just the start match, and they're going to build to it. Or if it's guilty of the fact of, like, we've seen what these guys can do, and so having a match like this just really feels underwhelming.
Yeah, but look at the match that preceded them. Usos retaining, by the way. Like, who did they have to follow?
They had to follow the New Day.
Yeah.
Like, and that was an unannounced match. It was New Day taking on Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos.
For me, this was match of the night. Charlotte Alexa was the only true competition, ultimately, for that designation from me, as far as I'm concerned.
Like, sticking with the Street Profits match for a minute, like, Montez Ford, guys, he came out there and he made you care at the end. He put his body on that line. That dive over the top rope, over the corner.
Woo. Yeah, that was kind of like, that was like the point where everything just started to like really, really go.
That's when the fans woke up.
Yeah.
It now makes me wonder, they promoted it all night, are we seeing the end of the Street Profits? Are we going to get, because they put Montez in a main event match with Roman on Friday. Are we going to see the end of the Profits and they go all in on Montez?
If you do, it's the end of Angelo Dawkins. I'll tell you right now. Because no disrespect to Angelo, but Montez is the charisma, Montez is the ability, Angelo is the hot tag.
Yeah, if I'm Dawkins, I'm doing my damnedest to lobby Montez, saying, don't let him break us up, man. Don't let him break us up.
It might not be his say, but also, I hate to say this, if you break up the Street Profits, I made a comment in our chat during the night, who else is left in the SmackDown tag division? I mean, you have the Dirty Dogs. Lucha House Party is supposedly maybe not long for this world.
That they're wrong.
And the Mysterios.
No,
Mysterios are breaking up, probably.
Lucha
and,
House
and also
Alpha Academy Otis
and yeah, Alpha Academy.
But Luchas are Raw, by the way.
Well.
Oops.
Who knows? Maybe not after this week.
You never know. But we also have people from NXT that could be coming up and filling those spots in the tag division. Because there's going to be a lot of change coming with the draft next week.
One thing I hate about WWE is how they break up established tag teams and then throw together two singles performers to make new ones.
I don't know anybody who's ever been for that.
But Vince.
But in some
I said, case, I don't know anybody.
But here's the thing. In some cases, it's worked. Like, the Bar worked. They were thrown together. And they became a great tag team. And then the other company, you know, Hangman and Kenny Omega, they were a good tag team too, right?
Yeah.
Were they though?
They were champs for a while.
I enjoyed it.
So in certain occasions, it works. Like Alpha.
Yeah, but if I throw like 1,500 darts at a wall at the same time, three or four are going to stick.
Well, yeah.
Maybe. Okay, that's it. Make a video. I really want to see you throw 1,500 darts at once.
Well, I would need a cannon that would be able to launch 1,500 darts.
Hey, Tim, build him one.
Yeah,
I probably could.
Open up your toolbox.
Schmottasses.
This is where you promote your toolbox thing and tell people.
Yeah, about Tim's, it. Toolbox Tim's underscore toolbox on Twitter, where you can follow me and see all the projects that I get hired to do.
Hey,
which may or may not include a dart cannon,
a 1,500 dart cannon.
I don't know. That word is on like a MythBusters build. 1,500 dart cannon.
Yeah.
Quick, somebody call Adam Savage.
So we talked about breaking up tag teams, and they broke up the New Day, but they're back together, and they opened up the show
for now.
For now.
It was good seeing them together again.
Yeah.
When they broke out the Unicorn Stampede, I popped.
Yeah.
Narrow the focus a little bit more and admit that that was one hell of a fun match to open up tonight.
Oh, yeah. It was very, very well done.
Hell yeah.
Tim brought up, I was watching AJ and Woods putting on a clinic.
The start of the match, that was an absolute wrestling clinic by those two. Just incredible. It was just pure joy to watch them working each other in the ring.
I think the best way you can describe it is it was a main event style match and everyone got the shine.
Mm-hmm.
Like they protected almost a lot. Lashley got the shine, AJ got the shine, Big E, your champion, got the shine. I think it was a perfect match where the right team won and it ended up setting up something for tomorrow.
Set up a couple of things if you wanted to go with it. Because with that finish of AJ tagging himself in, Lashley then tagging himself in, and Lashley deciding to, you know, attempt to spear AJ into next week accidentally.
Yeah.
you could do a couple of things where, you know, Bobby's getting his rematch tomorrow, as was announced a couple of times during the night.
They both cut intense promos.
Yeah.
To set it up.
AJ could have beef with Bobby. And also, depending upon if you want to protect someone, tomorrow night, we could see contractual obligations rear his head.
Oh, no.
Hey, Bobby's going to be competing for a title. If you want to get back at the guy who beat up your son, what is the one surefire way you can do it? Screw him out of that belt, because then, of course, it makes their potential match, in about 4 weeks in Saudi Arabia? Personal.
Something.
More personal than it is now.
Personal on both
contractual
sides.
Contractual obligations had to choke his own son. Come on.
So, yeah. What was also on this match, the show, was a three-way for the U.S. title. Damian Priest, Sheamus, and Jeff Hardy. Fans deeply involved, invested in Jeff Hardy.
Oh, it was Jeff Hardy night in that arena.
And Sheamus became a meme.
Sheamus became what?
A meme.
That's what I thought you said.
The Jeff Hardy dancing on the top rope. It's a meme now. It's fantastic.
That quip.
I thought that'd be more of a gif than a meme.
Well, it is a gif, but you can meme tweets with it. It's It's perfect. You can use it for everything now. I mean, this match was okay. This one felt more like a TV match too, but I think it was a step above the Usos match.
It was a step above a television match, but a step below a full-blown major pay-per-view match.
But also where it was positioned, I guess it made sense.
Yeah, wasn't going to get too much of the shine where it was located, but at least it entertained the fans, it filled the show. You got really good effort from all three people, and the guy who probably should have won did.
I think that makes for the best type of match, when the right person wins.
Yeah.
Anything else to add to that? Anyone?
I mean, it was a good match. Nothing really stuck out.
Other than Damien slipping off the side of the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he recovered okay, though.
He recovered okay, but yeah.
I mean, like, his performances have kind of shown that, like, he's kind of where he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's not like they hot-shotted him to the title picture, and then all of a sudden they have to be all like, well, he's not really doing what we thought he was going to. I think he's done a very good job as U.S. champ, so.
Well, and I mean, it's also rewarding him for what he did at Mania, which they touched on, and, you know, he's pulling in a certain kind of fan base as well, so, yeah, reward him with the belt. Let him have that run.
I like Damian Priest.
I do, too.
He's got a very interesting style between being high-flying when it needs to be, but also being really big and able to throw hands with someone like Sheamus.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it when you learn the lucha style, but you wind up being 6'6".
And then we have, what, two women's title matches left to cover. One included Alexa Bliss and Charlotte.
I will begrudgingly admit that I found the match entertaining.
Are you surprised?
But I'm not surprised. I'm really not. I'm just begrudgingly admitting that because I'm sick of Charlotte.
I mean, on the plus side, at least, like, you may not like her, but for someone who's kind of sort of crammed down our throats, at least she's good at what she does. So even though you don't necessarily want to see her all the time, it's not the worst thing in the world.
I have two issues with her that I raised during the night.
They are very valid points.
What is issue number one, sir?
Issue number one, Charlotte, you need to learn how to cut a promo that doesn't always sound just like this.
Yeah, but you didn't do it right.
Well, I'm not going to yell because that her entire promo is when she enunciates, she stops and yells every single goddamn word. And it sounds so robotic. And
she needs to learn inflection and emphasis.
She needs to learn to just talk. Not even emphasis, just let it roll. Because that's one of the things about Alexa is when she's on the mic, she's not yelling into the microphone. She's just talking. And it comes across so much better. Charlotte.
It sounds more natural and organic.
Yes.
Is what it is. When Charlotte cuts a promo, don't you know they all sound the same?
What?
That's a Charlotte promo.
Okay. What's issue number two?
Charlotte, dear, you need to pick a ring gear. Just pick something. Pick a theme and stick with it.
I disagree with you. That's the one thing I like about Charlotte is how she changes things up every week.
No, I understand that. But if she's going to do it, she had a theme about 2 months ago, which was she went through the Disney villains, which worked great with her because if she's going to be a villain, you know, you can pull out the Maleficent gear because
now,
evil queen.
Yeah, well, now it's moved on to the MCU.
So,
which is technically owned by Disney.
Still.
Technically, Venom is owned by Sony because of the Spider-Man link.
Does Charlotte know that?
See you next year.
But here's the problem, though. So Charlotte pulls out a Venom-style outfit, which was half and half. So she had the half black, and it had the eye on it, and the other half was, like, gold and colorful.
Wait. She pulled out a Venom outfit? Like a one you can get in the Fortnite item shop by using creator code ROCKINSOCK, # epic partner?
Yes, very sad.
Wow. that wasn't shoehorned in. That was bulldozed in. Jesus. But good job, Rock.
Well, for crying out loud, intern, you've been involved with us for how long? You should expect shit like
when
that by now.
When you said it in the chat earlier, I went, I'm gonna remember that for later.
No, Lindsay, it was Venom. It wasn't.
Yeah, Two-Face. It was Venom, not Two-Face.
But the thing I was going to say is, like, if it was Disney villain, then that fits Charlotte's aesthetic. When it's Venom, nothing Venom. I looked at Charlotte and went, yes, that fits. It just looked like, okay, you picked something that was in pop culture. Yay. Honestly, if Alexa did it, it would make a shit ton more sense, because symbiote, possession, all of that would kind of fit in that character. The script that she has on her gear now kind of fits with what they've used with Venom and Carnage.
Yeah.
On Charlotte, it's a non sequitur. It doesn't make any sense. It's just the fact that Charlotte wanted to have something poppy.
I mean, until I saw the, like, teeth on the collar, I thought she was just wearing her Cruella jacket again.
That's exactly what I thought when she first came out. I was like, oh, it's Cruella. And then you had mentioned it, and I went, oh, no, it really is Venom. Oh, shit.
She's got to deal with Disney. Come on. She's very subtly promoting all of these fucking movies that are coming out that are owned by Disney. Venom 2 is, yeah, I know, technically it's Sony, but again, he's going to be appearing in the MCU next year. But she's got to deal with Disney, where they're paying her money for all of this. I was going to
say, Tim, there's just one big problem.
Mm.
Disney is under the ABC umbrella. WWE has deals with NBC and Fox. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but Disney has divisions. They've got their TV division and they've got their movie division. So the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing.
So moving,
nobody can see me. I'm doing hand gestures. It's hilarious.
So moving back to the match itself.
Rock, apparently you're a whore.
Well, yeah, I promoted my career called Rock and Sock, or Linz M. Ward in the Fortnite item shop, hashtag it.
Or as they would say on The Sopranos, you're a hua.
This crowd was upset at the end of the night. Lily got ripped apart.
Oh,
man,
God.
Did she ever.
I never expected to hear a thank you, Lily chant, ever.
Fans love Lily. Despite what social media will tell you, the fans love Lily.
Oh, my God. That's all fine and dandy, but to give that chant to a fucking doll.
I mean,
I'm not saying anything nasty about it. I had a chuckle.
No,
you know what? If Moppy was around today, they would have had the same reaction.
We had a potted plant get a reaction. Now we
have a named potted plant.
Yeah. Now we have thank you, Lily. I mean, Charlotte retained. The match was really good. Alexa was pissed.
Yeah. Oh,
she was frothing at the mouth.
Kind of.
She needed some water.
They needed the camera not to focus in on her tongue with the Alka-Seltzer tablet right on it.
She could have also tucked it under her tongue.
It was tucked under her tongue. Her tongue was raised to the roof of her mouth when she was screaming.
Is that how you scream, Tim?
It could have also broken the tablet into a couple of pieces.
My tongue is not locked into my lower jaw. And wait a minute, I don't scream.
This was another thing that I think the idea was there. The execution just did not pull off well. I don't know if they rehearsed it before and were like, this will be great. And then post-match dry mouth took over, Casey had said.
That's probably what happened.
Post-match, during match. Like pre-match.
I
recommend they put a water bottle under the announce table.
Or underneath the ring.
Even. Yeah, but she was stuck under the announce table long enough to be able to take a cup of water so it would work.
Well, there's nothing that says that, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure every one of those announcers has a bottle of water there.
Yeah. I think the issue is also you have to balance getting that frothing mouth with her ability to scream to get over that moment, and it's hard to do that balance between the two.
So, yeah, that was the downside to it, but she has a mad, probably see this match again. No complaints from anyone here?
Nope. If Alexa gives that same effort that she did in this match, which I don't think any of us believes that she won't, yeah, that's going to be a good match, because now there's an added element to it.
I have a funny feeling that Alexa's going to elevate.
Yeah, we're going to see some Mama Shango up in this.
I have a feeling that the next match we're treated to is going to be on a whole new level.
Well, and it's going to be interesting to see what the next iteration of Alexa is. Does she just stay with her current look and just go a little bit more crazy because the Lily's not there?
I was wondering that because, yeah, after when she's sitting there sitting on her ass at the top of the ramp, there were shades of the temper tantrum Alexa coming through. And I'm thinking, are they finally killing off this thing she's been doing?
See, I don't think that. I think you'll see her become more Lily in that sense. She'll adopt
kind of kept her in check.
Right. And so it's that kind of thing of what if whatever inhabited Lily, I guess, moves on to Alexa, and she's not just dark, she just becomes the doll.
So basically, Lily was Annabelle.
In a sense, yes.
Conjuring reference for those of you who don't know what I was talking about.
So we'll see what happens tomorrow on Raw and going forward. And then there was Bianca and Becky Lynch.
Oh, God.
Really I enjoyed this match. Up until the finish.
Wasn't a fan of the run-in.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I think you and I are pretty much from what I could garner from our brief little conversation on Skype with each other. I think we're on the same page.
Yep.
Match was fantastic until the run-in.
Now, I'm just going to say this. For all the people who complained at SummerSlam that, oh my God, I can't believe they did this. Having the build-up for this match, having everything progress from SummerSlam until what we got tonight, wasn't it kind of worth it?
Yep. That was my question.
I mean, like, you got the 26-second match, and there was a reason for it, because they could give you this match with build instead of just throwing something together. Because, I mean, we've seen thrown together matches do well, Finn Balor and AJ Styles, but that was also due to medical. But normally, just like throwing together a match, I'm sorry, I kind of want something to go with it. I don't want just hot-shotting two people together, because you can.
Here's the thing, like I talked about earlier, they got 3 weeks to work the tours together. Dark matches at SmackDown, working the tour to get the rust off of Becky Lynch before she had to deliver a performance like that.
And it also allowed her to fine-tune becoming a heel, which, by the way, is happening.
Okay, so there's a clip that's on social media where...
Yes.
Okay, so Bianca grabs Becky and brings her over to a fan who has the braid like Bianca does, and the fan whips Becky with the thing, with the hair, just lightly on the head, or whatever, on her shoulder. So that happens. So after the match, then Becky goes arguing with the fan.
This probably 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, made her day. It's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, go find it on social. It's out there.
And the one thing I loved during the match also was just, like, Becky had a little bit of Bayley in this match when there was that interaction on the outside.
Oh, that was good.
And Michael Cole's like, you know, Becky's trying to figure out what to do next. And Becky just stops, looks at him, and goes, no, I'm not, Michael. I know exactly what I'm doing. It was such a great moment on TV.
Yeah, don't tell me what I'm thinking, Michael.
I have a plan. Yeah, it's just like every so often you're seeing wrestlers and you know they can hear the announcers if they're like standing on that side of the ring, and it's fun. It's so much fun to hear them acknowledge it now and being like,
well, it's one of the things that I have always loved is when there is interaction between the wrestler and the play caller.
So the finish, Bianca has Becky ready to go in the kiss of death, and out ran Sasha Banks. She returned, attacked Bianca Belair, and Becky's like, we cool? Huh?
Thumbs up. Thumbs
cool?
Up.
I want
to point out in that moment, like, Becky holding the belt with, like, looking just completely disheveled was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just like, she just looked like she just went through, like, the worst thing of her entire life, like, rolled through, like, down a hill full of, like, thorn bushes, and then she's just like, we're good, cool, yeah.
Cool.
it wasn't just holding the belt, it was clutching it, realizing like how close it had come, and Sasha saved her ass, and then it's like, buddy, we're cool, right?
And Sasha's like,
just got waylaid.
Nope, not happening on this night. Sasha stood tall after laying out both women. As Lindsay said in chat, give me a triple threat with these three, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to yet another triple threat for a title.
Yeah, well, too bad.
Oh, my God, WWE, get the fuck away from it. You overkilled it.
Yeah, this one's going to be good, though, Tim. You'll enjoy it.
And still.
You're turning to a match that has Becky, Sasha, and Bianca all in it?
I'd rather they stretch it out and just have one-on-one matches.
That's what you'll probably get working to the build.
But again, for me, triple threats for the title ranks right up there with Charlotte in the main event for me.
Aw, boo-hoo.
Shut up, or I'll cancel my subscription to something.
Hashtag
cancel the cock.
There you go.
We don't have that problem here.
Oh, yeah, Rock, that's what I wanted to ask you. Up until Sasha's running, that match between Bianca and Becky with a 3-week build-up to it. Do you think that'll be enough to convince a few fans to resubscribe to Peacock?
I'm not going there, Tim.
They'll bitch and moan about the finish of this match and say that's what's wrong with everything.
I mean, I would have preferred to have a dirty finish by Becky just to, further solidify her heelness, but I'm also not opposed to this triple threat match either.
I'm on board for it. There's a quote I need to find really quick because it's very fitting for the finish of this, let's see. And I quote, "There is no such thing as a terrible win. There is only winning. Becky Lynch, 9/24/21.
Oh, God damn it, Becky. I mean, she's not wrong.
Not wrong at all. So Becky's still your champion. Roman still has a title. We had a weird finish with that. Charlotte's still the champ. Brent, how do we do?
All right. So there was a huge variety of scores here. So just to let you know, in 12th place was the Wheel of Fun at 2-4.
Yay.
In 6th place at 4-2, Tim, myself, 8-Ball, Subway, Rob, and Amy.
Wow,
and in
we first suck. Place
at 5-1. That's right. You either had 5-1, 4-2, or you were the wheel. in first place at 5-1, Casey, Rock, Lindsay, Sheila, and Tommy. So I think we kind of saw where most of this was going, according to this.
A very predictable show.
The funny thing is, most people got different ones wrong.
I know I got the Alexa one, Alexa Charlotte one wrong because I went DQ at that one.
I don't.
Yeah, I got Alexa Charlotte one wrong as well because I went Alexa.
Yeah, I had Alexa.
I don't remember.
Yeah, who did? I had Alexa winning by DQ. Brent, who did Casey have?
Casey had Charlotte.
Who did I get wrong though?
Becky.
Oh.
Because it was a DQ finish.
That's fair. But I mean, yeah.
So that was Extreme Rules. Interesting show. Good wrestling.
Oh, quick mention of the quadruple kendo stick, because that didn't happen.
the demon adorned quadruple kendo stick.
I called it the dick measuring contest. Roman showed his.
Figured out a way to have smoke come out of it.
Yeah, when Balor stood up and he slowly lifted that thing, I go, holy shit. Like, literally, just like that. I went, holy shit.
And then 30 seconds later, I went, holy shit.
And then I said something, and you gave me shit for posting a soft spoiler.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I don't think it was that one.
I don't. It happened a couple times, because, you know, 30-second delays and whatnot.
Well, when you finally told me that, I started shutting up as long as I could before typing anything.
I mean, you weren't saying anything. You weren't saying anything like super spoily. It's just you would say something, and then I just knew that
something's gonna happen.
Was coming. Yeah.
So it's kind of like me typing into Skype. Something's about to happen.
What is it gonna be? Just wait for the 30-second delay.
There you go. I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, that's very ambiguous. Speaking about ambiguous, you will not get ambiguity tomorrow night immediately following Raw. You'll get the post show with Rock and, of course, the lovely Lindsay Ward.
We're going to call it an 85% chance you're getting a post show tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
85?
We're going to give it an 85% chance. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. Right, Brent?
Yeah. Yeah, we're... So, Rock and I are going to be slightly distracted tomorrow.
Oh, shit. It's going to be a football game tomorrow.
It's Eagles-Cowboys tomorrow.
It's the football game, Tim.
Okay, now, if there were two teams in the NFL you didn't need to watch, it would be the Eagles and Cowboys, so don't worry about it.
It's technically for first place in the division.
Like I said, it doesn't matter, so don't worry about it.
Like I said, 85% chance there'll be a Raw post show tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, depends on the outcome of the football game. Fair enough. All right. Thursday nights, of course, it's the return of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with the multi-award-winning host, Lindsay Ward.
We'll talk. We'll have Extreme Rules, we'll have NXT, and all the news you can handle is Rack Live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. You can also check out the Rack Extra Reviews, NBA 2K22. That's now available.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks. Use the creator code Rockin' Shop.
Rockin' Sock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad.
In the Fortnite store.
Yeah, or Epic Game Store.
There too.
Yeah, because they have video games in that big game store. You can use the code.
I don't know why I said Rockin' Shop. I meant to say Rockin' Sock.
I know, Tim. That's fine.
Shop Rockin' Sock? And get me the Nintendo Y3000.
Keep going, Tim.
Never mind. Saturday night's Midnight is sure as close as we can get to another edition of the Wild, Wacky, the Extremely Saturday Night Webcast.
What?
CB Radio.
Last night we did an AEW tier list. The return of the Greater the Great Debate. This Saturday, Midnight-ish. CBRadioLive.com, GreaterTheGreatDebate.com.
Now, programming note. There may or may not be a webcast next Sunday night, because next Sunday is a special day for one of us, and this individual cannot at this moment in time confirm whether or not he will be available.
That individual is Tim.
Yeah.
So stay tuned to at Wild Talk Radio and at WTRS on Night on Twitter, at Flames Forums on Twitter, to find out if the show will be on. You can check out facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network and facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night.
Of course, come hell or high water, there will be cake for everybody on Sunday. That's all I'm going to say. But you've already plugged my Twitter. Do I have to do any other plugging?
No, Casey, plug, go.
At Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver, it's basically me pushing my wrestling.
Oh, hey, Casey, are you wrestling?
Yes, I will be wrestling this Friday, so I will be advertising who I will be wrestling as soon as I find out. I may cut a video promo about said match that may or may not involve Steiner Map.
Well, I've already seen you do Steiner Map, and it didn't matter because he wasn't going to be there.
No.
So, where are you wrestling Friday night?
Friday night, I am wrestling at the Legion downtown here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Legion number one.
Yes, sir.
That would be the Royal Canadian Legion, which is the Canadian version of the veterans, whatever it is, for you American vets.
Brent, plug stuff.
You can find me making friends on Twitter at King Kittens. You can also find me decrying the fact of the tier list that was done last night, especially one pick, which Rock railroaded into there. Bastard. And then, finally, I would just like to say the NHL season has opened, and already the Toronto Maple Leafs are 1-0, and I'm really sorry, Tim.
That's all right. I get to correct you yet once again. The NHL season has not opened. It will not start until October.
That's all right. We're still 1-0 in the preseason.
It's the preseason, which means all of these games are evaluation games. So that Toronto Maple Leaf win means as much as that Calgary Flames loss. In other words, bupkis.
And that's our show.
It's going to be fun during hockey season if you're still with us, Brent.
I have a feeling he's going to be
gonna,
with us.
We're going to piss off. We're going to piss off. We'll piss off Rock, and Casey will be a non-starter because he lives in a hockey city, but isn't really a big follower of the game.
Brett will be here for a long time, and we'll be here maybe next week. Say goodnight,
Tim. I'm a Canadian anomaly.
A Canadian anomaly.
Yeah.
You're rude.
I live in Canada, and I am neither here nor there about hockey.
Oh.
Well, all I can say, Casey, is domo arigato.
Oh.
Casey, just apologize, and you'll get back your Canadian card.
No, that won't happen. But the funny thing is, I got a funny feeling that I speak more Japanese than Casey does.
You might be right.
You know, I think I am. Remind me to tell you about this follower I have on Twitter. Her name's Yuki, and she lives in California. And we get talking. Once in a while, I will put together a sentence or two in Japanese, and she really, really enjoys that.
Our audience doesn't care. Good night, everybody.
Have some great one, guys. We'll catch you next time.